BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, and this is really a must-listen-to program today. Would encourage you to stay with us throughout the course of the broadcast. As you know, the rhetoric and the political statements pertaining to COVID and the COVID shot, they're heightening and becoming more directed around the world. Just a week ago, we aired an audio clip here in Crosstalk of Chris Hipkins, the minister for COVID-19 response in New Zealand, who spoke of, by the end of the year, chasing people down to get the jab. The president of the Philippines is now saying that Filipinos who've refused to get vaccinated should not be allowed to leave their homes and that the police should escort them back home who try to leave. He said people who are without the shot are walking spreaders all over the world. And here at home, President Biden just stated that we have a pandemic because of the unvaccinated. And they're sowing enormous confusion, he said. And not only that, just speaking on MSNBC, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said the voluntary phase is over. All this while mask mandates are being reinstituted around the country. Here to sort things out for us, we welcome back to Crosstalk Dr. Jane Orient, a medical doctor and executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. They are a nonpartisan professional association of physicians in all types of practices and specialties around the country that are dedicated to the highest ethical standards of the Oath of Hippocrates and to preserve the sanctity of the patient-physician relationship and the practice of private medicine. Our guest obtained her undergraduate degrees in chemistry and mathematics from the University of Arizona in Tucson, her MD from Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons. She completed internal medicine residency at Parkland Memorial Hospital and University of Arizona affiliated hospitals, and then became an instructor at the University of Arizona College of Medicine and a staff physician at the Tucson Veterans Administration Hospital. She's been in solo private practice for decades. In addition to AAPS, she's managing director, or editor, I should say, of Doctors for Disaster Preparedness and managing editor of the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons. Dr. Orient, thank you for joining us here today on the program.
It's great to be here.
We have a lot to unfold today, and I'd like to begin with this Delta variant. Nightly, we're being told of the numbers of COVID cases sharply increasing, and fingers are pointing at the Delta variant. And just wondering, what can you tell us about this? Because we're seeing these numbers really escalate. What's going on?
Well, the number of deaths is going down. And if you look at the deaths instead of the cases, it's really no greater than it was before all of this concern about the Delta variant. There's been an alpha, a beta, a gamma, a delta, a delta plus. Viruses mutate. They're getting ready for the lambda. And isn't it interesting that we didn't have all of these before we started vaccinating people? Could it be that vaccines are acting like antibiotics and selecting out new strains that are less susceptible to either the antibiotic or to the vaccine?
So is that what you believe is going on, why these variants are developing?
Well, there's a lot of reason to think that they are.
The inventor of the mRNA vax, Robert Malone, he reportedly is worried about those coming down with COVID following the jab. I mean, I saw the Daily Mail reporting earlier this month that vaccinated Britons now make up almost half of the COVID cases in the country.
Yes. Now, you will hear the opposite said on the mainstream media, but if you look outside the country where I think we may be getting more honest reporting, like in Britain, Scotland, and Israel, it looks as though the people who were vaccinated are hit just as hard with the Delta variant as others.
And yet the finger-pointing is going against those who have not. I'm going to play a clip from President Biden that he just spoke within the last couple days, and where he is blaming individuals for causing this pandemic, the unvaccinated. Here is his clip.
Will you require all federal employees to get vaccinated?
That's under consideration right now, but if you're not vaccinated, you're not nearly as smart as I thought you were.
Are you concerned that the CDC's new mask guidance could sow confusion?
We have
pandemic because of the unvaccinated, and there's so much enormous confusion. And the more we learn, the more we learn about this virus and the Delta variation, the more we have to be worried and concerned. And then only one thing we know for sure, if those other 100 million people got vaccinated, we'd be in a very different world. So get vaccinated. If you haven't, you're not nearly as smart as I said you were.
Okay, so he's walking off mic as you're saying this, but he said we have a pandemic because of the unvaccinated. And if you've not gotten the shot, as he said, if you've not gotten the vaccine, you're not as smart as what I thought you were.
Well, how can it be that we have less cases now than we had before and we still have a pandemic? Or how can it be that these new cases are showing out when we get vaccinated? Mm-hmm. I mean, why is it that just as half of the country is vaccinated, we now have supposedly more cases? I mean, you would think that the more people vaccinated, the fewer cases we would have. In fact, we're having a lot of breakthrough cases. And already, 30 million Americans have recovered from COVID. They all have natural immunity. They have antibodies. They have T cells. Studies have shown that if you have recovered, you are no more likely to get infected than if you have gotten a vaccine.
Could you comment on ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine? I mean, we have been hearing from various physicians who are saying that that these tools work, and yet there is such a media blackout on these things where we are, you know, seeing any kind of messages going out through social media that tout these medications as being shut down.
This is just an outrage. Hundreds of doctors and thousands of patients, maybe millions of patients worldwide, have benefited from early treatment with these drugs that have been known to be safe for decades. And in places where you have kind of a natural experiment, as in India and in Mexico, where you have jurisdictions that use ivermectin and those that don't, the death rate has plummeted in the ones that do, and is increasing in the ones that don't. So it just seems to me to be totally outrageous to be denying patients information about or the ability to get these drugs. The World Health Organization even tried to bully India into stopping production of this drug, and fortunately for the world, India refused.
So is the World Health Organization calling the shots on this, no pun intended, even here for the United States as far as the dispensing of these drugs?
Well, they don't have the authority to do that, but a lot of people are relying on them, just like they're relying on the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, which also does not have the legal authority to prevent doctors from prescribing drugs that were approved decades ago, even if that specific indication is not on the label. Up to half of the medications that are prescribed do not have a specific FDA authorization for that particular use, although they've been approved as safe for many other indications. So the whole idea of stopping treatment is something I've never heard of before. I think Harvey Risch of Yale is correct when he said at first 100,000, maybe by now it's several hundred thousand Americans have died because they are refused early treatment for this. Unlike for any other condition, you always want to treat as soon as you can make the diagnosis. But with this, they tell you to go home, isolate, and call the ambulance if you can't breathe.
So are doctors being prevented from prescribing these medications? Are pharmacies giving out these medications?
It varies. All of my patients have been able to get their medications, although there are some corporate policy not to dispense it, and there are some individual pharmacists who won't. But so far, everybody has been able to get these prescriptions filled.
Hmm. But it's sometimes finding a doctor who will give such a prescription, too.
Oh, that's right. Those who are employees of big corporations will say, no, we're not allowed to give this, or no, we just don't do this. And the NIH recommends basically nothing for people who are not hospitalized.
Just a few weeks ago, President Biden announced he launched this door-to-door home vaccination visit program. You represent a significant doctors group. What is your take on this?
I think it is unethical. It is unconstitutional. it should be forbidden by statute. I mean, and out in the real world, you can't even interview a patient. You can't pretend to offer any type of medical advice without getting the patient's consent, implied consent. They come to your office. You can't beat on a stranger's door and demand to know something about their medical history. I mean, if you beat on their door and said, have you been tested for HIV, then maybe there would be more of an outcry.
So people are getting this hard sell on the shot today, whether it's coming from the president, through the news media, through their medical doctor. Some are taking it for mere pressure alone. I mean, that's pretty troubling, isn't it?
Oh, well, I think it certainly is. And people are being pressured by educational institutions why you can't finish your college degree or you're going to lose your job, like hundreds of nurses and administrators and janitors and all kinds of people did in Houston Methodist because they declined to get the vaccine.
Is there recourse? I mean, it seems like the Department of Justice now is saying that the vaccine mandates are permissible.
That's what the Department of Justice says. So they have to twist themselves in a pretzel to change the what should be the clear meaning of the statute that says if something is available only under an emergency use authorization, it must be voluntary and people must be notified of all of the potential risks.
I have seen some stories which indicated that they're trying to sweep this emergency use authorization under the table to make it as if it were FDA approved in that regard. Do you have any information on that? Is that true or false?
Well, I think people are not really acknowledging the meaning of this EUA. But some colleges said, well, yeah, we know about the EUA, but we expect the FDA to approve it in a few months. So we're going to go ahead and keep people out of school now.
What are you observing as far as the fallout from those who have taken this? I know Senator Ron Johnson, for instance, had a committee hearing, or not a committee hearing, but a public hearing, a press conference, in which several gave testimony of injuries that they had received since receiving the jab.
Well, some of them can't testify because they're dead. You know, we stopped the swine flu immunization program, I think that was back in the 1970s, when 25 people died of the vaccine. Now, we have young, healthy people without any pre-existing conditions or known cause of death dying soon after the vaccine. How many have to die? How many 19-year-olds have to succumb to heart failure because they wanted to go to college and they weren't let in unless they had the vaccine? Like this one 19-year-old girl, she even had a heart transplant trying to save her, and she still died. We don't know how many people have died. We have a very poor reporting system. The VAERS system, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, is way behind on entering data. Some people say they've actually been pulling data out about people who have died. The count is up to 9,000. I think it was much more than that. And then they pulled out 5,000 saying, well, these were foreigners. I guess it doesn't matter. Foreigner dies from this product. It doesn't belong in our system. A whistleblower from the CDC reportedly has said there are 45,000 deaths that we know of.
Tell you what, I'm going to stop right there because we're up against a break. We're going to pick up with that afterwards. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are whales related to any land animals?
Chris, evolutionists think they are. In fact, this is one of their strongest arguments these days, that whales evolved from land animals with legs. Some say that the ancestor looked like a cow or maybe a wolf or a hippopotamus. Well, I think they're all wrong. Recently, the head portion of a whale fossil was found in California. It didn't have the rear portion at all, but this didn't keep evolutionists from claiming that they had small rear legs. Chris, why do we believe them? Why do even evolutionists believe them when they make up stories like this? The Bible says that God created whales on day 5 of creation week. They've always been whales and they still are whales. Even whales go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Jane Orient is with us here today, Executive Director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Our topic today is COVID, the variant, and the jab. Dr. Orient, just as we were going into that break, you told us about a whistleblower that came forth and told about 45,000, did you say deaths, of those who have received the jab?
Deaths. That this person knows about that are being covered up. But Novera says 9,000, at least the last I checked the database. And if the underreporting is as bad as is believed, that may be 90,000 people actually died after the jab. I mean, some of them are old and debilitated, and you can say, well, they would have died anyway. But when you have a person who is in the prime of life, who is active, who is healthy and gets the jab and then suddenly is dead, what are you supposed to think?
Yes. I'd like to air this clip here of New York City Mayor de Blasio calling this, you said the voluntary phase is over and time to mandate it. Let's hear the clip and then we'll get your response on this. This is New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio as he spoke on MSNBC.
12 years old and up. And look, I'm a parent. My kids went to New York City public schools. If my kids were going to school in September, I would be running to get them vaccinated right now. And like was said a moment ago, yeah, we used to do this as parents all the time for a variety of vaccinations. We've got to shake people at this point and say, come on now. We tried voluntary. You know, we could not have been more kind and compassionate as a country. Free testing everywhere you turn. Incentives. Friendly, warm embrace. The voluntary phase is over. We can keep doing those things. I'm not saying shut it down. I'm saying voluntary alone doesn't work. It's time for mandates.
Dr. Orient, your response.
I think he's a horrible dictator. That this is happening in the United States of America seems incomprehensible. He's the guy who was offering free French fries, which are really good for your health, if you would get the jab. He's completely ignoring individual rights, or the reports about the significant damages that we know about, much less the fact those that we don't know about, because this simply has not been around long enough for the long-term effects to be seen. I mean, I believe he has blood on his hands for people who are bullied into getting this vaccine when they don't need it, and they or even if they might benefit from it, the risk of harm to them is much greater than the benefit.
There is some discrepancy between some polls that were being done, like from the American Medical Association, and that which came from the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And I saw on your survey, I found it noteworthy, 60% of your 700 respondents said they were not fully vaccinated. And of those, 80% said, I believe risk of shots outweighs risk of disease.
Yes, well, we did that survey of just people who were on our email list after I saw the AMA survey, which had 300 physicians responding, and allegedly 96% of them said they were vaccinated. Well, I have no idea how they did that survey, but obviously they missed quite a few. And if you look at other surveys done by others about healthcare providers, nurses, that maybe 40% say they have not been vaccinated and they do not want to get vaccinated. If you look at soldiers, firefighters, and other groups, nearly half of them are skeptical about the vaccine. And when you have people like Bill de Blasio threatening them, it certainly does not inspire trust in our public health people, that they are not able to persuade people with data and good reason for why they should take the risk of the shot after at least 9,000 people have died of it.
Well, no, but instead we're trying to woo them with free, as you mentioned, free French fries or free alcoholic beverages. What do we see in Washington State? It was joints for jabs, a marijuana joint, if you would get this. And some states are offering college scholarships in the lottery or other lotteries who just win $1 million. So many people win $1 million in all of this. If this is truly effective and truly that which is a help to the American people, would we need incentives like this for people to take the jab?
Well, actually, if you have an experimental vaccine, which this still is, the studies are not even scheduled to be completed till the end of 2022. It is illegal, unethical, would never pass an institutional review board to offer incentives that could be construed as coercive. You know, if you're offering a poor person a chance to win $1 million, there's no way to say that that is not coercive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, truly amazing in that. And as you know, children will soon be going back to school, and we understand that one of the vaccine makers is now seeking an emergency use authorization to give the shot to those under the age of 12. I'd like you to comment on this as well, Doctor, as to the risk that COVID presents to children, including the Delta variant, versus risk perhaps from the jab itself.
Children are very, very unlikely to die of COVID. Certainly not if they are healthy. They might get the sniffles, something like a cold. The children were deliberately excluded from the trials that were done, but some of them are still getting jabbed. Now they say, well, maybe we should put some of them in a study. But there have been children who have died of blood clots after getting this jab. I mean, parents had volunteered their precious children for the good of society to be guinea pigs, and they died.
Mm-hmm. How tragic. What are you telling your patients, those who inquire, should I get this or not?
I say, well, we should look at the risk and the benefit. Look at your age, your comorbid conditions. What is the risk that you will get it? I mean, then the incidence is going down, and if you get early treatment, you will probably do very, very well, even if you are old and sick. But we need to look at the potential side effects, and most of them are unknown. You know, the long-term autoimmune diseases, long-term things like infertility or cancer, we cannot know about. It takes a couple years for those to show up, and just a couple years have not passed. But we can already see death, paralysis, long-term disability in an unknown number of people. We're certain that these are vastly underreported.
This information that you're sharing right now, it's really being blocked from the American public mainstream on issues of number of deaths who've received the shot, as well as injuries from the jab. I mean, last week, one state alone, Massachusetts, confirmed some 5,200 people came down with COVID after receiving the shot. So far, 80 of them had died. This is just but one small state, and yet news broadcasters continue to say that these breakthrough cases are rare.
That's what they say, and this is, isn't this incomprehensible?
Yeah.
A country that's supposed to believe in freedom of speech? And why is there this worldwide frenzy to get a jab in everybody's arm? I mean, the mortality from COVID-19, at its worst, has been far less than in many other epidemics.
Hmm.
And this is in spite of the fact that we have denied people access to effective early treatment.
Yes, yes. So right now, because of all of this and the variant, we were seeing mandates coming for masking once again, being reinstated. I mean, this mask mandate is catching on like wildfire across the country. And I referenced Senator Ron Johnson earlier, but he issued a statement on July 27th saying, do masks even work? Do they do more harm than good, particularly to children who have a low risk of serious disease or death from COVID? Remember, the initial goal of public policy was to flatten the curve so we wouldn't overwhelm hospitals. At some point, federal agencies move the goalposts. The initial goal was achievable. I'm not even sure what the new goal is. Time to let Americans, not federal agency, make decisions for themselves and their children. Time to reclaim liberty and end this state of fear. Comment on this common state of fear. Is that the persona that's given to the American people? And I also want to talk about the effectiveness. You're a medical doctor. You are executive director of a medical group. Your thoughts on the effectiveness of masks?
There's no evidence that they worked. Before 2020, nobody believed that they worked for containing a respiratory illness. I mean, if the patient's in the hospital and you know he's infected and you use your mask properly, I mean, you're not sticking them in your pocket and wearing them for a week with all of your germs on them, then they may be effective. But the public mandates for masks are not shown to be effective, and whenever they're mandated and you look at the statistics, the disease keeps going up despite the mask.
Yeah.
And even if it was going down without the masks.
Do masks present health risks in themselves?
Oh, well, certainly they do. There have been a couple of children or teenagers who died when they were forced to wear masks during strenuous exercise outside. There was a girl who was winning the track event at her school who fell on her face just at the finish line because, her breathing, her gas exchange was impaired by this mask that she was wearing outside for no good medical reason whatsoever. So she got a concussion, and she may have injured herself in other ways for doing something that should have been contraindicated according to any reasonable medical standard.
Doctor, what you are saying is so contrary to what we're getting from major media across this country and from so-called health officials and politicians. Where can our listeners really get solid information on this issue?
If they go to our website, aapsonline.org, for the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, we post our press releases and other articles, and there is a book that you can download free about the early treatment of COVID that has a lot of preventive information in it, too. Medicine and the media are not even telling you you should make sure you have adequate vitamin D levels, because people who have adequate vitamin D virtually never die of COVID, and those who are severely deficient have a very high mortality. Why aren't we at least telling them they should be taking 5,000 units a day of vitamin D or something like that? Dr. Fauci admits to taking it if you ask him, but he doesn't seem to be thinking it's important to tell the rest of us.
Wow. Yeah, I see it right on your website. It's called Home-Based COVID Treatment, Step-by-Step Doctor's Plan That Could Save Your Life. That's the book you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay. And that's available on the website, aapsonline.org. Doctor, do you have any concern for our nation's blood supply, one way or the other, people giving blood who've received the jab or people giving blood who have not received the jab? Any concerns either way?
That is a good question, because once you receive the jab, your body is making spike proteins. And there's no limit on how much spike protein it can make. And there is evidence that this spike protein, whether it's attached to a virus or not, can attach to your blood vessels and cause blood clots. The Red Cross is accepting donations from people who know what brand of vaccine they've received, which include all three that are authorized in the United States. They will not take your blood for convalescent plasma if you've been vaccinated. Do you want to get a transfusion from someone who has been vaccinated? Maybe this is spread even by shedding from people without having to get their blood injected into you.
Well, let's take a quick break. I've got a couple more questions before we open phone lines. But folks, what I'd like you to do is formulate a question, have it succinct so you can get right to the point when you call. We'll open our lines here in just a few moments. This is Crosstalk.
From the frontiers of scientific discovery, researchers are now taking design elements from the natural world and creating extraordinary breakthroughs that benefit our health, our quality of life, our ability to communicate, and even help us work more efficiently. Many of these are documented in the book Discovery of Design. In this book, you'll learn how things like batteries, human organ repair, microlenses, and even credit card security all have links to natural designs. You'll learn how innovations like solar panels in space use technology from beech tree leaves, how the study of the leg bone led to the building of the Eiffel Tower, how the study of the timber beetle helped to improve the use of chainsaws. Over 75 such illustrations are given. It's a fantastic journey into the intersection of science and God's blueprints for life. Discovery of Design is available for a donation of $16 or more to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today on the broadcast is Dr. Jane Orient, a medical doctor herself and executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. We're talking about COVID, we're talking about the variant, and talking about the jab. And one of the things that's really being pushed even in countries around the world, and pressure increasingly here in the United States as well, is that of a vaccination passport. In some cases, to wear a scarlet letter if you've not received the shot. I saw earlier this week, NBC Sports was pointing out that the Steelers, Pittsburgh Steelers, the pro football team, that players will have to, who have not received the jab, will have to wear a yellow wristband. So let's talk about the passports and the identifying of those who have or not received the jab.
The passports are getting some pushback from, at least from some states that are refusing them. And putting a yellow band on something, that's really something. Actually, some unvaccinated people want to stay away from vaccinated people because there are too many stories of people getting sick after they've contacted somebody who has been vaccinated. I mean, was there shedding spike protein or what? I don't know what's going on. But this is a new form of segregation, of discrimination. We don't make people wear a band if they're HIV positive, do we? There are a whole bunch of other diseases that people may have that we're not allowed to know about. I mean, back in the day, in the AIDS epidemic, we weren't even allowed to test people without going through a very elaborate informed consent procedure. Mm-hmm. So this is the death of medical privacy, the death of individual liberty. No more my body, my choice when it comes to this. And I think the only thing people can do is resist. If they don't want to take the risk of the vaccine, they just have to say no. But there will be a price to be paid for it. And I think people are going to make changing their educational plans, changing their work plans in order to avoid this. And unless people do that, and if we all just go over the cliff like lemmings, then we'll see what will happen. And we may have a huge amount of mortality 2 years from now, or just of crippling disabilities.
Are you concerned for the physicians and surgeons in your group and the pressure being placed upon them?
Many of them are facing pressure, and some of them are going to comply. Some of them are not, and they're not really sure what's going to happen. I think that if enough people refused, that policy would have to change. Or if enough people capitulate and some of the worst predictions about these bad side effects start coming true, then it'll be too late for the people who took the vaccine. But I think there will be a lot of demand for the services of those who are still healthy.
Is it too early for us to really know what the full side effects are going to be of the jab?
Absolutely it is, because if autoimmune diseases, cancers take a long time to develop, infertility may not be seen for a while because people are delaying childbearing. But the signals coming out of fertility clinics are very concerning, that some women who were successful egg donors before, are the next donation after a vaccine, those embryos are not surviving even 5 days. How often that's happening, I don't know. The Facebook page that had something like 20,000 followers was shut down.
Wow. Friends, let's open our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Our number is 800-733-9829. We don't have time for long speeches, but maybe you've got a question you'd like to ask of our guest today, Dr. Jane Orient. Our number, 800-733-9829. And a reminder of their website, where you're going to find information that you'll not find from other sources, AAPS, again, that stands for Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. So in brief, it's aapsonline.org, aapsonline.org. Let's go to the phone lines and take your calls, your questions. Tim is calling from Pennsylvania. Tim, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just have a quick question for the doctor. Specifically, doctor, how many cases of deaths that your practice or adverse events have you guys reported to the VAERS website?
I have personally not seen any from the vaccine. The patients that I've seen have been mostly avoiding the vaccine, and they had maybe were ill or they were afraid of becoming ill and they wanted prophylactic or access to early treatment. But we do encourage, we send out an email alert to everyone telling them how they can make a report to theirs.
Okay, is this for something reported by doctors or by patients?
Anybody can report to theirs.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Robin in Monticello, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to give a comment. I think Eisenhower and Reagan said, or they were telling us, I am here from the government, here to help. I think we should be afraid. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Steve in Chattanooga, Tennessee. You're on the air.
Yes, well, when I was first started, I read more articles than I could count about the fact the vaccine had to be kept at minus 70 to at minus 100 degrees. And now that anywhere you go almost in church parking lots and rec center parking lots, they have vaccination events, you know, set up with nothing you see but styrofoam coolers. Can you talk about that?
Thank you, Steve.
Well, there's an expiration date on the vaccines that supposedly after they've been thawed, they will last a few days. And they're maybe backing off some on the cold storage requirements. Why, what basis they have for that, I am not sure. But yes, the Pfizer vaccine had to be kept very, very cold.
Okay, and another issue I understand is some of the vaccines that were going door-to-door, the J&J one, been utilized because it doesn't need that cold storage, but its touted effectiveness is far lower, too. And that isn't that also the one that's been attached to claims of blood clots?
It is, but there have been blood clots with all of them. Hmm. The J&J vaccine has also had quality assurance problems. I think millions of doses had to be thrown out because of problem at the factory, and I don't know how careful the supervision have been of the rest of them.
Kay is calling from Fremont, Ohio. You're on the air, Kay.
Hello. I have a question. Should people who have natural immunity, they've had COVID, be concerned about the shedding from other people?
Thank you, Kay.
I'm not sure the answer to that. It's a good question, and I haven't heard of any reports related to that of them getting a problem. But if it's the spike protein that's being shed, and that in itself is doing damage, I don't know whether they would have enough antibodies to act against it. I just don't know. Very good question.
Thank you, Kay. Let's go to Thomas in South Dakota.
A question with respect to the vaccine. Doctor, I'm wondering, as a messenger RNA and its impact upon the cellular DNA, is that not really the silent impetus that they're pushing for to change our DNA?
Well, if you look at what the founder of Moderna said, we are hacking the software of life, and so we wonder what their real objectives are. They say that the vaccine does not have everything that is required to reverse transcribe that RNA into your DNA. Maybe they're right, maybe they're not, but RNA as well as adenovirus vectors like used in the J&J vaccine are used for what's called transfecting cells in order to do genetic engineering. They're just saying, well, our particular vaccine doesn't have everything in it that could do that. I guess you can believe them or not as you choose.
Thank you, Thomas. And again, that phrase was hacking the software of life?
That's it. That's exactly what he said.
My. Let's go to Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, my comment pertains to three major players in regard to the Delta variants. I thought Rand Paul was the one that was medically competent. Anthony Fauci was mostly political, and Joe Biden, just plain unpresidential.
Okay, that's, Mark.
That's my
comment. Your comment. Okay, thank you. Chandler, Arizona. Ada, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a question. I just had my gallbladder removed 12 days ago, but I have a sluggish liver. Now, before I went into the hospital, it was an outpatient, my doctor gave me ivermectin. Now, I've heard that if you have a problem with your liver, you shouldn't take ivermectin. Should I ask my doctor for a prescription for hydroxychloroquine so I have it at home in case I need it?
I think everybody should have some at home in case they need it. Ivermectin can have an effect on the liver. I'm not sure how big a problem it is to worry about, but that would be one relative contraindication to it, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Ada. Anne is calling from Shorewood, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. I just have a question. If someone were to have, like, cancer brewing in their body, and then they take this COVID shot, the two shots, could that make the problem, like, accelerate it? Because my sister, 78 years old, working she got two shots, working 40 hours a week, and all of a sudden, 4 months later, she's got stage 4 cancer and dying in a facility.
This is not the first time I have heard about something like this happening, where someone had maybe a limited cancer, and then they got the shot, and then it just went wild and killed him. And I just don't know. I think all these cases the CDC should be looking at very carefully, mm-hmm. and maybe putting out a warning about it.
Thank you, Anna. And are they keeping stats? Are they even keeping the records? Do they have interest in knowing situations like this?
Not as far as I can tell. Everything is a voluntary reporting system. Doctors are discouraged from doing it. It's difficult and time-consuming to do. And the CDC generally does not investigate these things and tries to blow them off as being coincidental.
Our next caller is from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Sue, you're on the air.
Okay, how can a person who contracts the COVID-19 get early treatment if their MD refuses to order such things as hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin?
Person needs to find another doctor. There is a website, c19protocols.com. It has a number of protocols by various physicians. And at the end, there are websites of physicians who are willing to treat this. There are a number of telemedicine services where you can find a doctor who is licensed in your state who would be able to prescribe for you.
That's c19protocols.com?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
Pat, in Pierrepont, Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, I have three questions. One of them is about the HEPA. I'm not even allowed to ask about my husband if he doesn't want me to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't understand how they can bypass that like that. Then another thing, why can they call that a vaccine when they know it doesn't meet the requirements of being a vaccine? And the third one is I'm allergic to the flu shot. And my doctor says that if I'm allergic to the flu shot, I'm going to be just as allergic to this shot, mm-hmm. which I didn't want it anyway. But it's on my record. Could they force me to take it anyway?
Okay, thank you for those questions. Dr. Orion.
HIPAA is of no protective value whatsoever. It impedes your communication with the doctors, but there are very broad exceptions for government, public health, for insurance companies to get all the information that they need. Let's see.
How can it be called a vaccine, she said, when it's not truly a vaccine? It doesn't
stop. They changed the definition. And because they're the government and they can define things however they please. And as to the allergy, well, I think that's a very good point. But a lot of people who are demanding the vaccine will say, well, it's not good enough for us. Unless you have anaphylactic shock and practically die from this specific vaccine, we're not going to recognize it. But if you had a choice about taking the vaccine, I certainly would be very cautious.
Okay, thank you for your call. We're going to take a quick break, and our final segment here will also feature your calls here, your questions here for Dr. Jean Orient. Again, her website, aapsonline.org. That stands for the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, aapsonline.org. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. In February of 2018, I used my radio show and TV show to warn that President Barack Hussein Obama and John McCain had worked with Congress to create a commission on military, national, and public service. I warned that they were going to require women to sign up for the national draft, selective service. I also warned their goal would also be to make mandatory community service, where young people to get out of high school would have to do so many hours of community service, but it could only be with an organization approved by the government, not your church. In fact, previous federal legislation said the kids could in no way be involved with religious instruction or leading a worship team or maintaining a church building. What are they doing here? Brainwashing. Now this commission has released its report in March of 2020. Now it's been rolled into the Military Authorization Act and came out of a committee last week. They're now putting it into funding. This is on the verge of happening. Wake up, America.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today, Dr. Jane Orient, a medical doctor and executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And we're talking about COVID. We're talking about the variant. We're talking about the jab today and letting you ask the questions and get answers. We're going to O'Neill, Nebraska. Carolyn, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air. Hello, Carolyn. Okay, just we've got a bad line there. Let's go to Dominique in Mukwonago, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Dominique.
Hello, Doctor. I really appreciate your discussion today and what you're doing to spread the truth. And you're right, only a couple weeks ago, the VAERS database said that COVID vaccine deaths were 9,048. But it's tragically jumped so much in the last 2 weeks, I was wondering if I could share what the current total is as of 7/16.
Sure. There
will be more tomorrow. It's 11,405.
Hmm.
So by this weekend, it should be over 12,000, tragically. And we're almost at half a million adverse reactions from the vaccines.
And that's those that are reported, and it's just a small percentage, Doctor, that are reported to VAERS.
Right, it could be 10 times as many.
Right.
They're very far behind, backlogged on entering the data.
Mm-hmm. Let alone people who don't contact them who have the side effects or death.
Exactly.
Thank you, Dominique. We have Mac from Navarro, Florida. You're on the air.
Yes, Brother Jim. I've got one itching question I've thought of for quite some time now, and I'd like to know whether or not the doctor has any information on Dr. Fauci. It's really astonishing that this man was a young doctor or PhD in the late 80s when HIV came around, and look how HIV/AIDS was botched up. I even knew someone whose wife died from a poor mm-hmm. blood transfusion.
Okay, let's go right to your question here, Mac.
Okay, and anyhow, does she have any information on where this, how this guy grew in his position that he's in now?
Okay, thank you.
But there is some information about him in our newsletters on APSonline.org. The worst thing in the AIDS epidemic, he would not allow people to know that Bactrim, that's a sulfa drug, could help prevent pneumocystis pneumonia. And by the time other people, the NIH would not fund studies, came out with information about that, probably 17,000 people had died who might have been saved. So history is repeating. He's denying the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine and other drugs, just like he did with sulfa drugs for AIDS patients.
So, friends, even if you go to the website aapsonline.org, there's an icon there for a button there for newsletters. You can click on that and even get some of that information there. Let's go to Kentucky, and Eddie is calling. Eddie, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a mild case of COVID, and my doctor is recommending me tomorrow to go get an infusion of two experimental drugs. I'm going to have to spell these, CASIRIBIMAB, and the other drug is IMDEVIMAB. These are two experimental drugs. It's not approved. And they want me to go get an infusion tomorrow. Should I do it?
Oh, these are monoclonal antibodies, and there's considerable evidence that they have been effective. So I wouldn't object to them. I think, personally, if you're my patient, I wouldn't rely on them. Some of my patients have gotten them, and they've had good results. But I wouldn't rule out other early treatment. And if you want a doctor to consult about that, cc19protocols.com.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And that would be Edie there. Thank you. Maureen in Zanesville, Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I'm wondering if she knows anything about the up-and-coming Novavax. It's a vaccine that is somehow comes from an insect.
Oh, what they do with the Novavax is they get moths to make the spike protein. And then instead of having your cells make the spike protein, they take the spike protein and inject it into you, and this is supposed to be safer than having the mRNA. Certainly, you get a limited amount of the protein instead of having however much your cells make, which could go on and on.
Thank you, Maureen. Jim in Duluth, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm kind of curious as to where and how to get so many variants. Thank you.
Where and how are we getting so many variants, Doctor?
Well, that's what viruses do. They mutate. They all do. That's why you have to have a different flu shot every year.
Mm-hmm. And because that flu shot becomes ineffective and it finds a way to, you know, to grow and thrive.
Well, that's right. And, you know, the viruses, or bacteria for that matter, if you kill them off with one product, then the ones that don't get killed off proliferate and they may become predominant.
Let's go to Matt in Fairview, Pennsylvania. You're on the air, Matt.
Hello, good day to you. I just wanted to ask, do vaccinated adults pose any harm or potential harm to children in their reproduction in the future? Because I saw that some...
Okay, I'm just going to ever answer the question here. Doctor?
Well, that it might be a worry. At least one person that I saw said that when she was exposed to her parents who gotten vaccinated, that she had menstrual problems that she had never had before, you know, early, very heavy periods. So were these vaccinated people shedding something? Did it have an effect on her? I don't know. I've heard a couple of reports like that, so I wouldn't rule out the possibility.
Merle is next in Tennessee. You're on the air, Merle.
Yeah, I'd like to ask the doctor, has she heard or can she confirm that the mRNA vaccines are turning the red, are turning the blood cells tubular instead of round, which is causing the blood clots?
Okay, thank you.
No, I think that is not true. The pathologists who have looked at those cells, at those wet mounts, said, you know, that that person who did them does not know what she's talking about.
Okay, thank you.
Bluntly.
Brenda in Friendship, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to share a lesson that I learned 40 years ago about masking.
Okay, we've got 40 seconds left here in the program.
I decided to wear a mask when I was painting 4 milk cans, making it to kitchen stool. I had a light mist on all of my body. When I took my mask off, it was totally white. So if that can come through on spray paint, what happens with those tiny particles of virus?
Interesting question here, Doctor.
Yeah, well, good observation, and she's certainly not the only person to have made it.
Yeah. Well, we have run out of time for the broadcast, but friends, more information that's available on aapsonline.org, aapsonline.org. And, Doctor, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to help speak to these issues and to inform our listeners on information they're not getting from the major media.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Again, Dr. Jane Orient, aapsonline.org. Our time is gone. Lord willing, next week, we also have somebody from the National Vaccine Information Center to answer your questions. We trust you'll be able to stay tuned.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.